while Ardsdale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
You know, it's that time where we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. Christmas is no longer a season. It's no longer a day. It's now a season, isn't it? You know, it used to be Christmas Day. Now it's Christmas season. The other day I got an email, I don't know whether it was from Amazon or something, that said, you know, join us this Black Friday season. Friday. It's not a season, Friday. It's one day, but now everything's a season. Talking about seasons, have you come to realize, the promotions start in October. The first adverts come out. The billboards are out in October. I mean, you know, it's we haven't even gotten to Guy Fawkes, and they're advertising Christmas. And those of you who know, Sky TV have got dedicated Christmas channels. Five, six, seven Christmas channels. Yeah. And there's even one where they play Christmas music all day long. There's a Christmas music channel in there all day long. There's a song that was written in 1963. It was written by a man called Andy Williams. Does anybody know what song I'm going to? You're showing your age now. You are showing your age. I saw three hands and I heard a You are showing your age. Andy Williams wrote a song. In fact, it was from his very first Christmas album, apparently. And it's still one of the most popular songs. It's called "The Most Wonderful Time of the Year." The most wonderful time of the year. Did you enjoy that, John? The song has got words in it. It's got lyrics in it. Lyrics like, "It's the most wonderful time of the year." It says, "It's the happiest season of all. Merry meetings or happy meetings when friends come to call. Hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near." And when you look at these lyrics, when you look at these words, when you listen to these words, is that what life is like for you right now? Is that what you're going through in every aspect of your life? Is this what it's like? These lyrics are painting a picture of the perfect season, a season we expect to go through in a way. However, life is not always like this. Life is not always like this song. For many of us, what we're going through is very far removed. It's not what we expect. What we're going through is so far, so different from what we expect. Come on, you know the story. You hope for something. You know by faith. You trust it's going to come. And then it comes, but not the way you thought. Has that ever happened to you? Remember those, you go online, you see a dress, you see some shoes. You decide you're going to order the shoes, you pay your money, you wait a week, 3 days, now next day delivery. And the shoes come and it feels like they're made out of paper. And you're thinking, that's not what I ordered. It's not what I expected. Or you went for a job. The job was advertised. There's a manager, admin manager. You went for the job. And then you get to the place, after the interview, you realize the reason it's called admin manager is because the guy works from home and he's just barely going to manage to pay you something at the end of the month. It didn't turn out the way you expected. But sometimes unexpected things can be the other way around. You apply for a job, you know it's a management job. They tell you you're going to be managing 4 people. And within a space of 4 months, you're managing 19 people across 3 departments. Sometimes it works the other way, not quite the way you expected. Or you board a flight. You get there and there's a problem with your seat. There's a problem. There's an issue or other. And the flight crew, they say, you know what? Don't worry about it. Where's your stuff? Come with me. And they move you into business class. Happened to me once in You know how, you know those things that happened to you once and you want to hold on to that memory forever? It did happen once, only once. Oh, you know. But things happen not the way we expect. You know, someone I know, talking about, you know, we're talking about babies. Someone I know was pregnant and she told her husband, honey, we're expecting. Okay, fine. They confirmed it. They went for the scan. She asked the person, she asked the radiographer, and she said, what gender is my baby? The radiographer answered, which one? Yes, it was twins. Buy one, get one free. Sometimes things happen in a way that we do not expect. And here's the thing. The unexpected, that's one of God's favorite moves. Sometimes he does things in a way that we don't expect. Let's look at the story, the Christmas story. Humanity was doomed. It was over. We were plummeting to an eternity, you know, of death, right? We needed a solution. We needed a savior. We needed a redeemer. God knew, right? Oh, we knew God could do it. We knew he would do it. We knew he was going to do it. And when he did it, it wasn't the way we expected. So often when heaven comes to earth, it's not in the way we expect. And over these four sermons, we're going to be looking at this in some detail. Just looking at heaven coming to earth. Today, I'm going to point out simply three things. Three things that happened when heaven came to earth that were not as expected. Number one, the pregnancy was not as expected. Yes, of course, it had been foretold. Isaiah had said, you know, God was going to become human. But even that, God lowering himself to our level, even that was like, whoa, what is this? How could that be? Emptying himself of his deity, becoming undignified. That was against his character. That was contrary to who he is, who we knew. The creator and the sustainer of the universe was going to come as a helpless little baby? What? How? How could we have expected that? How could we have seen that? The sovereign one, this omniscient one, was going, the one who time and space do not apply to him, was going to take on flesh and blood. What? How? How could he demean himself to that level? And in some regards, it's almost unbelievable that a sovereign God would humble himself to such a degree. It seems ridiculous that he would make such a sacrifice. I mean, he could have just spoken it into being. He didn't have to do that. And in some regards, that's one of the difficulties that other religions have with Christianity. How could your God be human? Why would he even do such a thing? But God does things we don't expect. Not only is it true that God was willing to become one of us, but it's also true in the way it happened. Think about it. Mary was going to marry Joseph. Yeah, we knew that. She expected at some point, okay, I'm going to get pregnant. I'm going to have a baby. She knew that. She's getting married. That was her expectation. She knew that. It's just that the pregnancy didn't happen the way she expected. Unfortunately, I mean, let's think about Joseph. Joseph, this guy was a hot mess, and we heard it in the text that was read. He was a hot mess over the whole issue. His fiance is pregnant, and technically the baby's not his. How does he deal with this? But then he realizes a lot of shame is going to come upon her. A lot of guilt is going to come upon her. So he decides to protect her from that. I mean, the truth of it is, in that society, if the community had said, Mary is pregnant out of wedlock, she could have been even stoned to death. It was a distinct possibility, a real possibility. But his love for her prevailed. He didn't expose her to public disgrace. So that was Joseph. What about Mary? Like I said, you know, she expected to get pregnant. If you read in the book of Luke, the book tells us that Mary was visited by an angel, and the angel told her she's going to give birth to Jesus. Of course. Okay, I'm going to give birth, okay. But hold on, she asks, how is this possible? I'm a virgin. How is this going to be possible? And in his answer, when he said, listen, God's going to do it. one of the things he said to her was, even your cousin Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant. Now, Elizabeth wasn't a young woman. As far as the world was concerned, Elizabeth was barren. And what the angel did in saying, even your cousin Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant, he was using Elizabeth's example to show Mary that it is still possible for God to do it. I don't know what you faced this year. I don't know what kind of trouble has come your way. I don't know about the challenges that you fought or that you're even still fighting. But one thing I know is that God can do the unexpected in your life. Absolutely do things in your life in the most unexpected way. And often, when God is doing something for you in an unexpected way, do you know what? He shows you somewhere else unexpected. That's one of the reasons we have the testimony board. And I've encouraged you. If you've got a testimony you want to share, you don't have to put your name there. We'll give you the pen, because if you use any other pen, it'll fade. There's a particular pen we have. We'll give you the pen. Write out your testimony on that board. Write out what God has done for you so that you can be an encouragement to somebody else. You see, God showed Mary that he was the God of the unexpected because he had caused Elizabeth, who people had thought was barren, he had caused her to be pregnant. And sometimes that's what God does. And just like with Mary, Joseph, we too, Mary accepted, Joseph accepted, we too need to be accepting and expecting when God tells us that he will see us through. He will see us through. You know, we won't always understand how God works, but we need to be humble. We need to be his servants. We need to believe him. We need to expect to see it. Amen? He is the God that often does things in the way we don't expect. So we see that what, you know, the pregnancy was not the way we expected. The second thing that was not the way we expected is the place. The place. Think about it. Smelly stable. A smelly stable. That's it. Do I need to say more? How many, have you ever been on a farm? Anybody here? Okay, a few hands. Those of you who, worked on a farm. Okay, next level. Those of you who've been on a farm or worked on a farm, and even those of you who have only seen it on TV, you already know what it smells like. It is not nice. Not at all. That stink goes in your nose right up into the back of your brain. That's where this baby was born. That's where Jesus was born. Is that a suitable place for the creator of the universe? How could it have been? See, that's the unexpected. You know, interestingly, historical research, some people have said that the manger, that particular manger where Jesus was born, there's a possibility that it was even a cave that was being used as a manger. For me, that makes it even worse. Imagine all that stink and smell and stench in a cave. There's no air. It's dark. It's cold. It's moist. And the moisture is not rainwater. And that's where the baby was born? Rihanna, and I can see the look on your face, thinking, no, my baby there? And that's where the baby was born? Completely removed from the hygienic situations you expect a king to be born in. He was the newborn king. Why would God allow this? Why? I mean, Mary and Joseph, they wanted to get into the inn. They hoped they would get some room in the inn. They hoped there'd be a room and a bed. And I'm sure they weren't expecting to go into a stable to make do. But, out of desperation, Mary was, who knows, she may have been getting Braxton Hicks. You know, baby pangs, contractions, early contractions coming through. And she's like, Joe, I can't go anywhere. Joe, get me off this donkey. I am not leaving this place. You know, who knows how that played out? Why would God allow this to happen? Was he trying to test them? Was this a test? Why? Was it an opportunity for them to have faith in their time of challenge? Was it? I'm sure these guys, Mary and Joseph, would have been concerned. They'd have been concerned about the delivery. They'd have been concerned about the hygiene, about Mary's comfort, what was going to happen. They'd have been concerned about all of this stuff. It wasn't an ideal situation, of course not. Was it problematic? Yeah, I think so. But were they worried? No, they were not worried. There was a trust and a faith that they had in the God of the unexpected. And so it should be for us. When we find ourselves in a situation, in a place, that unexpected situation, we've got a choice to make. We do. We can freak out and panic and yell and scream, woe is me, woe is me, woe is me. Well, maybe, it may happen, Or we can press into God. I've said this in different ways. Let me remind you. If you cannot help freaking out, I want you to remember that freaking out cannot help you. If you cannot help freaking out cannot help you. So there's clearly no point in it. And sometimes, situations happen, circumstances come, and we get into our entitled position. We sit and we throw a tantrum. Oh, why is this happening to me? Leave me. And we sulk. I don't want to talk to anybody. It's not helpful. There's no point getting into that state. There's no point getting bitter about it. It doesn't solve anything. What we should do is press on by faith, press on in faith, press on through faith to make the best of the situation, to work through the situation. And that's what Joseph and Mary did. Just because it happens in a way we don't expect doesn't mean that God isn't working in the situation. Look at Jesus. Didn't Jesus deserve to be born in a castle? In a big palace. He's the King of Kings, the finest, conditions for somebody like him. He was laid on a bed of straw. It should have been, Egyptian cotton thread count. You know what I'm talking about. High thread count, quality, silk satins, whatever. Pure threads to make the stuff that he was wrapped in. But his life wasn't about that. Jesus wasn't rich. He didn't have many possessions. At a particular point in his ministry, he said, I don't even have a place to lay my head. God allowed the unexpected to happen. It's when you think about it, I was just reflecting on this. The King of all kings. Of course, you expect him to come through a prestigious family, right? The wealthy rulers, the people who can nurture him, who can show him how to be king. The stuff that he deserved treated him like the royalty that he was. But God didn't do that. He didn't want the focus to be on those things. God wanted the focus to be on humanity, to be on humility, not on pomp and pageantry and show. So what about our expectations? Are we expecting, because we're children of God, are we expecting to be treated better than anybody else? Yes, sometimes God allows us to suffer. I said it. Because it's true. Sometimes God allows mistreatment. That's true. Does it mean that God is unjust? Does it mean that God doesn't love? Of course not. No good parent. Listen, I don't even have to answer. Most of us here are parents. No good parent gives their child every precise thing that they ask for at the precise time that they ask for it. Isn't that right? And sometimes we ask God for stuff and he doesn't give it to us. And we sit on the floor and sulk. Rather than trusting him as our good, good father. Saints, God is calling us to be more like Jesus. Jesus was royalty, but he came to serve, not to be served. Jesus did so many unexpected things in his own ministry. He didn't hang around a lot of rulers. He didn't hang around a lot of princes. He hung around a lot of tax collectors, a lot of sick people, a lot of sinners. He hung around with some outcasts. He even talked with women in public. He allowed one of them, he's a rabbi. Women do not touch rabbis. He allowed the woman to touch him. He healed on the Sabbath. He taught people. He taught us to love our enemies. He taught us to bless those who curse us. Jesus didn't always do what people expected him to do, but he always did what God expected him to do. And that's how we need to be. We're called to do those things, to be those people who do what God expects, not necessarily what people expect. It's not expected in life that we would turn the other cheek. It's not expected that we would tithe or give an offering. It's not expected that we would submit our lives to Jesus and let him run things. But if we are going to be followers of Jesus, we need to be prepared to do the unexpected. And yes, if people think we're crazy, let them think we're crazy. But eventually that thinking we're crazy will turn to curiosity. And through curiosity, they will learn what we know. And they themselves will come to Christ. Amen? And so we see that when heaven came to earth, the pregnancy was not as we expected. The place where the King of Kings was born was not as we expected. The third thing is the people were not what we expected. Come on, you know the story. The angel appeared to shepherds. You know, and he said, you know, the king has been born, you know, go tell the world. Shepherds, right? I mean, these days, you know, 21st century, you know, I met a guy the other day on the fun day. And I said, oh, what do you do? He said, oh, I own a farm. You know, I'm a farmer. I'm like, wow, okay. I mean, the man was driving a brand new 2021 car. You know, huge thing. I looked at the car. I like cars and vehicles, etc. You know, that thing, probably about 50 odd grand. I was like, okay, yeah. You know, farmers, you can make a decent living as a farmer. You can make a decent living as a shepherd now, can't you? This is the 21st century. But in Jesus' day, it wasn't the same. I mean, let's think about this. Shepherds, in the rank, they were not very high in society. Prince George, our very own Prince George. Everybody know Prince George, Prince William's son? He's 8 years old now. At the time of his birth, when he was born, as a person of royalty, because he is, I mean, he's third in line. So, do you know, technically, his mum should bow to him? Technically, he's going to be her king. Wow, it's crazy, this stuff. At the time of his birth, where did the official announcement come from? Anybody remember? You may have heard it on the news, but the announcement came from a particular source. Obviously, his mother would have, you know, she'd have traveled by road to hospital. Right? Was it the people on the road? She was in hospital for at least many hours up to the point of his birth. She was surrounded by nursing staff, catering staff, security staff, cleaning staff, admin staff. Was it any of those people? Was it the hospital staff that made the announcement? Who issued the announcement? The palace. Because he was royalty. The announcement came from the palace. So let's remind ourselves about who Jesus is, or who Jesus was. He was foretold to be king, ruler over all, lion of the tribe of Judah, savior, redeemer, high priest. You'd expect an announcement for somebody with those qualifications to come from a king, to come from a ruler, to come from an esteemed place in society. But he was also savior, he was redeemer, he was high priest. Fair enough. Let's forget the kingy bit. Let's go to the churchy bit, the God-y bit. That should have at least come through one of the religious rulers, right? Our survey said, in that society, the religious rulers were the top of society, beyond the king. Religious rulers were the top of society. They were the list of the best people. The shepherds, they were near the bottom with the tax collectors and the prostitutes and the beggars. That's where they were. Shepherds were usually dirty, unkempt. They didn't smell very nice. They smelled like sheep. They were not the people, you know, when they came into town, people didn't greet them with hugs and kisses. And these are the people that God chose to announce the birth of the King of Kings. You see, God can work through people you don't expect him to work through. You know, you might not expect a young child or someone we call a baby Christian, a young Christian, to say something spiritually deep, spiritually profound. But God does use unexpected people. If you search online, there's a clip, there's a particular Paralympics race where as they were coming around the final bend, and you may have seen this, it's quite well known, as they were coming around the final bend, one of the runners near the front tripped, he fell, and he hurt himself. He was clearly on screen. You could see he was in agony. He couldn't get up. Literally, all the other runners stopped their race, went to him, and helped him up. And all of them together crossed the finish line at the same time. Goodness me. Now, that was totally unexpected. Humanity, right there at the Paralympics race. You'd never see that in the regular Olympics. And sometimes I wonder, you know, who the disabled ones really are. It's the truth. It's the truth. They had their head screwed on straight. They were doing the right thing. They were living as humans. Sometimes we're just so competitive, just not caring for the person to our left and our right. You see, God's love, God's forgiveness, God's mercy towards us, often they're unexpected. Unexpected because often we don't deserve them. God sent his son to take the penalty for our sin. That was unexpected. He didn't just forgive us. He made a way for us to spend all of eternity with him. That's unexpected. God, you can't put God in human pigeonholes. You can't put him in our, you know, particular things that we expect, you know, God must do it this way. You know, sometimes the things God does just don't make any sense. Think, how did that happen? There's no logic to it. There's no science to it. But as we saw and as we've looked at today, in the aspects of Christ coming, sometimes what God is doing goes beyond our reasoning, goes beyond our understanding. And yes, it's natural, it's human for us to question God's ways, to question the mysteries of God's ways, of course. But remember that his ways are not our ways. His ways are much higher than our ways. Remember that God, if God didn't do the unexpected, if everything God did was something we expected the way it was going to happen, if God did everything within our sphere of logic and reasoning, let me help you. He would not be God. So we should expect the unexpected from God sometimes. Many of us, if not all of us, we had a hope, we had a dream for the year 2021. We had an expectation. Oh yes, we got some things out of this year. When we look back, we can see that. However, in many instances, it was not as we expected. Pain, illness, bereavement, trauma, loss. Not as we expected. Now, the truth of it is, not every unexpected thing that happens to us is from God. Let me qualify that. Not every unexpected thing is from God. Sometimes getting the unexpected is good news, but sometimes it's scary. It's traumatic. But no matter what happens, God wants us to use the unexpected to draw closer to him so that we praise him when the unexpected is great and we press into him when the unexpected is not so great. When heaven came to earth, the perfection of heaven intertwined with the imperfection of earth. And now, today, that perfection is intertwined with the imperfection in your life. The perfection of what God can do is intertwining with the imperfection of what you need in your life, the situation you're in. Heaven on earth is the theme for the 4 weeks, today being week one. Heaven on earth is something we hope for, we rightfully hope for. It's something we expect in the future when Jesus returns, just like his kingdom. The kingdom of God is now and it is not yet. We understand that, right? We see that. And so when Christ returns, we will see heaven on earth. However, just like the kingdom of God, heaven on earth is happening right now. It's happening in this room. It's happening in this place. It's happening in me and it's happening in you, through you. The unexpected thing that God does, using you to love others, using you to be a voice of encouragement to the one that needs it, using you to be a hand that lifts the weary person, someone who cannot stand, who needs support, using you to be an ear to hear, to listen to those who need to be heard. Heaven did come to earth 2,000 years ago. But heaven is still on earth now. Heaven is on earth through us as we live out our faith in Jesus Christ. As we face the unexpected situations and circumstances, heaven is on earth as we continue in the unexpected to see God, to look for God. In this Advent season, and Advent, the time of expecting, the time of coming, the time of arrival. In this season, when we say, come, Lord Jesus, let us continue to look for opportunities. Opportunities for the light of the world to shine in us and to shine through us. So that our journey, our story will be the proof that the world needs when they want to believe in the possibility of heaven on earth.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.